Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 8th day of May, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, You Have Been Judged. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru am byth, which is Welsh for Wales forever. We are in the question and answer mode for this call. Callers will be welcome later on after I get done reporting everything I have to do. We do remind callers to keep things as short as possible so that others can participate. Our website is growing. More and more stuff is being added every day, so please check in there as often as you can. Email is being driven through artificial intelligence. AI is what a lot of people just call it, AI. But the algorithms within the AI are seeking out any email that's going through, trying to warn people about things going on. And what they're doing is broadcasting that the recipient either has you listed as spam or they have some sort of blocking mechanism on. Well, that's a partial truth. Of course, the Zionists are famous for partial truths. Yeah, it's being blocked because of content, but not by the recipient. It's being blocked by the algorithms at the platform, okay, the server. So, like, not so much YouTube or Yahoo right now, but it is definitely going on with Gmail and what's the other one? Gmail, and there was one other that's been giving a lot of trouble lately. For some reason, I can't think of it. So anyway, because of that, go to PastorDan.net as often as you can to catch up on the latest news. Lately, I've been bombarded with stuff. In fact, I'm putting in longer days now than I was when I had a full-time job, just trying to read and watch all of the material being sent. So, but that's indicative of a wake-up that's going on. And so that's good news. And there's definitely an awakening going on. Now, is everybody out there up to our speed or our level of knowing who's who in the zoo? Well, no, of course not. Not all of them. But you're part of the elect. Okay, the elect's job is to be the cutting edge, the icebreaker, if you will, in these end time events that are going out. A shout out to Cigar Jimmy up in Tampa and his audience. Welcome to the program. Cigar Jimmy used to be Bank versus You TV, but then he went through some troubles with censorship and had to start another one. That one got shut down, and now he's with Cigar Jimmy. So we keep getting punched, we keep getting persecuted, keep getting knocked down, and we keep getting back up. We're in this fight to the end, and we don't plan on going away. Okay, this is our country, and our King, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, put us here to occupy, not run. And I'm glad to see a lot of what I term the lukewarm Judeo-Zionist Christians are starting to wake up. Pastor Chuck Baldwin is very vehement about what the Bolsheviks are doing here. Coach Dave Dabamir is becoming more and more vehement. Of course, these guys don't, again, they're not getting it 100% right, because they'll still make references to Germany and the National Socialists and all. When anybody that does that, I leave comments now telling them they're full of mud, because all you have to do is go look what the Bolsheviks did to the white Christian men, women, and children of Russia. If you want to see real butchery, murder, mayhem, just go read real history, not Jewish fables about Germany in World War II. Go read the numerous accounts of what the Bolsheviks did to the Russians, which make even what Hitler's claimed to have done a walk in the park compared to the barbarism and absolute cruelty of these Jewish Bolshevik butchers. Okay? Why was the German SS full of so many people who were not even German? They were the people that fled the countries that the Bolsheviks had invaded. They fled the terror of what these monsters had done to their countrymen and gladly joined with the German SS because the German SS was dedicated to destroying communism. Wake up! So many people get like 80 to 90% right, and then they jump back on the, well, you know, Hitler was a madman, and he wanted to destroy all Jews and rule the world, which is bullshit. Utter, contemptible bullshit. Go read the writings. There's plenty of archived material if you get off your lazy ass and do the research that prove the Germans did not have any intentions on ruling the world or conquering the world. First of all, they didn't even have the means to do it. Just like in World War One. Well, Germany started World War One. Yeah, right. Again, the country that least had the least to gain with World War One was Germany. The least. And yet morons still go around saying that Germany caused it, blah, 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 blah. So everything done to Germany, they deserved. I'm sick of the ignorance. Sick of it. We got a new word. Again, I'm going to keep saying this just like Rhadamanthine because that is an excellent word. We need to use it more often because that describes what we Gideon soldiers should be like. Rhadamanthine, warriors for our king, meaning strictly and uncompromisingly just. What's wrong in this world today? Every commentator I listened to today, even Lionel Nation, the prosecutor from Tampa that now lives in New York, Lionel Nation was talking about the world is insane. And it is insane. The inmates are literally running the asylum. The nut house, the inmates have escaped and they're running the asylum. And as Coach Dabomir said, where the hell are all these so-called preachers? We got lots of churches full of lots of so-called believers with all these preachers preaching the word of God. Come on down and get saved and put some shekels in the plate while you're at it. It's a business. They run it just like a business. All the mainstream denominations, which we could lump them all with the big centralized everything. The central, big centralized church, like the Roman Catholic Church, is a abysmal failure. The so-called Protestant denominations are daughters of the great whore. The only ones that don't seem to have fallen into the pit are the Eastern Orthodox. Okay? They seem to have stayed truer to the original faith of our fathers than any other portion of Christianity out there. And again, I'm not an expert on the Eastern Orthodox, though I was married to a woman for a while who came here from the Ukraine who were Eastern Orthodox. So I did learn a few things about it. Interesting. But the other new word is cacistocracy. And I love it because it comes from my favorite ancient language to study, Greek. So kakos or kakos is bad. You ever hear back in the day when I was a boy anyway, people would say, oh my God, that's kaka. That's kaka. Instead of saying nasty words like, let's say, shit. Okay, people would say, don't touch it, it's kaka. I would hear older people say that to children. Oh, no, kaka, kaka. They didn't even know it, but they were speaking Greek. So, because it means bad, dirty, or evil. So, cacistocracy, of course, krasi is from the Greek word to govern or to control, as in democracy and the different other words with So kakistocracy is defined as governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment, that means harm, detriment means harm, to all other classes. In other words, they've separated themselves. Did you know, by the way, since we hear there's a man in Central Florida that was charged with threatening Bernie Sanders, the Bolshevik Jew Bernie Sanders, that he left messages on his voicemail apparently threatening to behead him while he was in a drunken state. I forgot where I was going to go with that. But he was charged with making that accusation, and yet Bernie Sanders is part of a group that are openly calling for the destruction of Christendom, the destruction of white America, Bernie and his Bolshevik friends in Washington. Oh, I know where I was going to go with it. Did you know that because this guy threatened a public official, they're making it like it's a big deal. Well, why does it make it any different if it's a somebody in politics or a government worker? They are trying to establish that the government people are a class above us. So this definition of kakistocracy fits perfectly. In fact, did you know that when they outlawed capital punishment, that was not covered as far as harming government people? You can still be executed for harming government people. It's just that when they kill you or your family members, the person cannot be executed. Isn't that sweet? One more division amongst us. Okay, Jimmy, welcome to the program, bud. What's up?
Hey, man, I was just going to help you refresh your memory because you and I had a brief conversation about this guy up there in South Orlando, and you and I had a brief off-air conversation yesterday that one of my criminal attorney friends here called me up, and we discussed this man's case. Now, I don't justify what he did, but I have to say that I am equally as pissed off as this guy. And when you lost your train of thought, I thought it was important that your listeners heard. That's why I punched in, and you did regain your thought. But at the end of the day, Commander Dan, you know, we're trying to get this guy some help because, yeah, did he trip over his own feet? Yeah. But his motive, first of all, he wasn't going to behead anybody. He was just very, very frustrated. His defense attorney asked the judge for consideration because the guy had a couple of beers and was frustrated, and the Democratic pile of shit judge said, no, we're going to prosecute this guy to the fullest extent of the law. I read the transcript today, which is public record, and guess what? The judge is a Democratic cockroach. So they're going to make an example of this guy. He is roughly my age, and if his sentence of 15 to 20 years and $250,000 to $2 million is imposed, and if he does get out, he's on life supervised probation, which means the man will wear a GPS ankle bracelet and report to some flacky, lunky probation officer for the rest of his life. This is also a felony, so he will have to not only relinquish his weapons, but never, ever be able to own a weapon again. Now, did the guy make a mistake? Yeah. But should it hem him up for the rest of his life? Hell no. But see, Dan, that's... they want you, me, and others, directly or indirectly, they're going to try to shut us up, brother. That's why we have to be a little bit careful. I know I've gone off on rants. I will never harm a flea, but I will step on a cockroach. And we have plenty of cockroaches running around that are not just the Florida palmetto bugs here in our lovely state. But we need to get this guy some help, and we need to keep him from becoming an example. And yielding, sir, and thank you for letting me punch in. And you know, we have to take care of each other because you lost your train, and I thought it was important that your listeners heard this. Mm-hmm. We cannot let this man, you know, should there be some penalty to teach him not to do it again? I think, frankly, the fact that he got arrested and raided and is sitting in jail right now is probably enough of a lesson. But we cannot let this man be incarcerated and charged with a felony, and because therein lies the first domino, and they're going to come for you and me, Dan. They've already tried coming for me, as you all know. And I used to think it was a badge of honor. Now it's like, okay, these people are serious, but we have to show them, and I'll yield with this one comment. You might be serious, but so are we. And with that, sir, I yield the microphone.
All right, Jimmy, thanks a lot, buddy. Yahweh bless. All right, folks, and yeah, good comment there. You know, I forget now, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said that we may hang all together, but we most certainly will hang separately, okay? We may. As a group, we may lose in this fight. We're not going to, but it is a statistical possibility. However, individually, we most certainly will hang because they'll pick us off one at a time. They've been doing it for decades. All right, they always covered it with a story with the complicit mainstream media, which is run by fellow Bolsheviks. So they always put a story that was plausible enough for the sheep to sit there and just nod their heads going, well, that guy deserved it. You know that. You know when that started? I remember when I read the book Helter Skelter about the Charles Manson murders, and I believe the prosecutor was Jim Bugliosi or pronounced something similar to that. And this is many, many years ago I read that. And I found it interesting. The murders were brutal, okay, but they were demonic. Whoever did it, it was a ritual massacre of... can't think of her name. Was it Sharon Tate? Somebody could put it in the chat room here. But the actress and the other people that were murdered, there were some rich people. But with what we know now, it was definitely a satanic takeout of these people. Now, did Charles Manson do it? Did he actually orchestrate it? If you read the book, and it covers a lot of the court case. Now, Bugliosi was hailed as this great prosecutor for putting this madman behind bars, blah, blah, blah. But as you read the book, you're going, a lot of what got Manson convicted was the press. Okay? All the bad press about how strange Manson was and the demon look in his eyes and everything. They actually didn't have a hell of a lot on Manson directly, okay? And it was part of the camel's nose in the tent where the people, quote, in charge could get rid of their opposition with hearsay evidence, okay? The Christian roots of our land and the biblical roots of our court system is that you cannot convict a man of a capital crime unless you have at least two witnesses. Not one, two. Simply because people lie. I told you here just the other day, I heard a woman right here in the community angry at another woman shouting loud enough for anybody to hear that she was willing to lie to authorities to get revenge on her. She was willing to lie that she personally could attest to child pornography being done, even though that's an absolute bold-faced lie. I was astounded. Saying it out there loud enough for anybody that was paying attention, she was more than willing to lie. That's the state of our world today. Okay, people are not, they're unabashed. What's the scripture say? They would not even know how to blush. Their sins, their crimes, their motives, the way they behave, is so bad, and they are so seared over in their consciences, they don't even know to blush. If my parents had heard me threaten somebody like that, and even say that I was willing to call the authorities and make up a completely false allegation, okay, that shows you the level of degeneracy in the United States of America. We are so far from what we started out to be, our founding fathers wouldn't recognize it at all. They would say the Antichrist has arrived and is here, alive and well, in the United States of America. Throw Canada in there, too. We'll throw in all of North America. The North America that should be the shining city, the New Jerusalem, is actually a den of thieves and evil spirits. It is basically the whore of Babylon. That's what we've got to, because people don't feel any restraint to lying. I left a comment on, I think it was Coach Dave Davamir's channel, or somebody that was talking about these kind of things, where I had an episode in Oklahoma City where the lawyer who was representing my friend that I was there to testify in behalf of, because I knew that the accuser had lied. I heard the whole thing that happened on the phone. I could hear everything. And I took notes. Something told me to take notes. I didn't have a recorder, but I did take copious notes. And so I drove all the way to Oklahoma City from Michigan to testify, and this lawyer pulled me aside and says, "Now, Dan, before we go into the courtroom, I want you to know something, that everybody in the courtroom lies." Now, this was a middle-aged white man, had his glasses, bald head, dressed very well, came from a very nice area town, churchgoer, lawyer that my buddy knew, okay? They were like friends. And even though I was only going there to testify with what I heard, I had heard that it was a false accusation that the neighbor was making, that my buddy had threatened to assault him physically, which is untrue. Even though I was there and had notes, this lawyer felt he needed to tell me it was okay to lie to help his case out. Do you see, folks? This isn't down in the ghettos. This isn't in the low-income area or any. This was in a well-to-do suburb of Oklahoma City. And yet, that's what I was told. Everybody in the courtroom lies. And they do. I've been in the courtroom testifying numerous times, or there for moral support for other people. So I've witnessed what goes on in the courtrooms, and it's a joke. The courtrooms today are nothing more than theater, kabuki theater, where the judge is the stage director, the lawyers are the choreographers, and whoever can put the best song and dance on for the jury when it's a jury trial, or song and dance on for the judge, will win, okay? Because that's all it is, song and dance. There's no talk of justice. There's no talk of truth. It's simply who can put on the best display, whether it's true or not, will get the award, which means either acquittal or found guilty, okay? That's your court system today. I've seen it. It's been that way forever. It's been that way as long as, hell, since I've been in my 20s, so we're talking 40, at the very least, the last four decades. We've been on a slippery slope heading right on out of here, okay? Yeah, and Bubby 1483 is writing in here. He says, Child Protective Services use anonymous witnesses. And I have personal experience in this with a member of my family due to an anonymous call being made. Took a year for that nightmare to end. Okay, to charge poor people without giving the right to know their accuser. That's why I said everything in our court system and our so-called justice system today is upside down. It's topsy-turvy. It isn't anything at all what Christ was talking about and our ancestors all through the Old Testament time. All right? when the judges, and you read anything in Scripture about the way true justice is obtained, and our court system is the complete opposite today. All right? First of all, they don't give the proper jury instructions because the jury's number one job is to judge the law, because governments make bad laws. The jury is supposed to be made up of we the people for protection against bad laws, just like the sheriff. His job, number one job, is to protect the people from the state and federal government. It's governments that go bad, not us. When the Bible talks about the beast system, it's governments at all levels. Who's killed more people than governments? Who's enslaved more people than governments? Who's executed more innocent people than governments? The answer is none. And they got you looking around, oh, there could be an ISIS terrorist set a bomb, or some other group do this, or white supremacists, or, look out for the KKK. And yet, you're missing the 800-pound elephant sitting right in the middle of your living room. Your government has done far, far worse than any organized crime could ever even dream of doing. Organized crime couldn't touch these monsters called government with a 10-foot pole. Not even close. And yet you're buying into the total bullshit that you need to watch out for nuclear. Oh, Iran might go nuclear, or North Korea might go nuclear. Like I've said, send them, boys, if you got them. I'm calling your bluff. Send them, because I'm not buying it anymore. Government is the beast, exactly as Scripture says. All forms of government at all levels are part of the beast. And again, every protection, the jury was supposed to protect us, they've taken that away. They say, no, the jury's job is not to judge the law. We're perfect. We're your new gods. How dare you think that we could make a law that's not perfect? Well, you bastards, you do it all the time. That's why the number one job of the jury is to check, be a check against bad government, overzealous government, and now Bolshevik government. Well, the Bolsheviks got their way. Now, the judge will actually tell the jury they're not allowed to do that. See, everything's upside down. Okay, the same thing with the sheriff. They've got sheriffs believing their number one duty is to follow the people out of the state capital and the federal capital. Their job is to be just an arm of them. What do we need sheriffs for? Fire all of them. If you can't do your damn job, then get rid of you. You're there for my protection. I don't need you to be a further extension of the arm of the beast to rape and rob us. The state and feds do that damn well on their own. We're looking for an advocate. It's called the sheriff. The Shire Reef is what they were called in Old England. The Reef of the Shire, or Shire Reef. Reef meaning the chief magistrate. Shire being the same thing as a village or a small town, the Shire. So the Reef of the Shire became sheriff. That's where it comes from, right? That's history lesson for you. Is the Shire Reef doing his job here for us? Is he protecting we the people from errant government? No, most of the time they jump right in and help out. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a few. I think Florida's got 3 constitutional sheriffs who are very outspoken about the Second Amendment and the people's rights. So hallelujah. 3 men out of how many counties? I forget. Florida's got, I don't know what, 60-some, 80-some counties? I can't remember. But the point of it is, you go across this nation, how many sheriffs know their duty? That's why I support one of my friends here in Florida is an officer in the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association that's headed up by Sheriff Mack out there. I think he's in Arizona. Okay, I think we interviewed Sheriff Mack several years ago about this very issue. Okay, everything's upside down, folks, and it's getting worse. The only good news is the fact that so many are waking up more and more. And I'm telling you, what really has caused me to be pretty excited about the times we're in is how many people are speaking the same language that you and I have been speaking on this program for years. And a lot of people might say, well, Dan, you're just trying to take credit for these people waking us up now, and you can't jump on here at the end. Well, you know what? I got archives that go back to 1999. I've got personal friends that listen to me go on and on and on long before that, before there was an internet, before there was internet radio. I was attending Patriot rallies and giving speeches and attending congregations and telling them the same things that I'm telling you right now. I've got evidence of that going back almost 30 years. So don't tell me I'm a Johnny come lately. No, I'm not. So the good news is that when you speak the truth, when you boldly speak the truth and put that truth into the ethers, that Yahweh's word comes true. In fact, everything happening proves that the scriptures are accurate when they're properly translated. It's proving it. Jimmy just put it up here. We got 67 counties in Florida, 67. All right. So out of 67, we got three sheriffs that know their damn job. It's unbelievable. Okay. Same thing with police officers. Anybody in uniform. Okay, you take an oath of office, and you are to be held accountable. In fact, public servants are to be held accountable at a much higher level than you and I, folks. We're just part of the population, okay? Just part of the population. When I was in uniform, that's different. When I was in uniform, I was part of the military. But now, as a civilian, I'm just part of like everybody else. But when you're a public servant, and you take that oath, and we're entrusting you with weapons, we're entrusting you with our laws, we're entrusting you with our courts, we're entrusting you with foreign affairs and treaties, and sending our money, in many cases, to our enemies, like it's a lie. You know, I've always wondered about that. We send more money to it's a lie than any other nation on earth, and yet the Jews are the richest bastards on earth. You want to talk about a scam? If these people aren't Satan's kids, then what the hell are they to pull that one off? They got more electronic digits and wealth than any other group of maggots on this earth. And yet they've convinced you morons to send billions of dollars to support that little litter box over in Palestine and allow them to murder the Palestinians at will. If they're not the world's greatest deceivers, exactly as Scripture says, then you tell me who is. Who's a better deceiver than a Jew? I've been asking that for almost 20 years. I still haven't had anybody come on the program to dispute it, so I'm still waiting. Tell me who is the greater deceiver out there than a Jew. Please. Anybody, okay? If you've got minority friends, if you've got Jewish friends, ask them to come on the program. You tell me who's a better deceiver than those bastards. Just like the Mossad says, by deception they'll make war. Why? Because they're cowards and they don't want to die in their fight, so they'll get you to do it. Yeah, that's why they make war by deception, because if they didn't, they actually had to go out and fight face-to-face the way any other army had to do it. They'd get their asses kicked. And I'm getting that information directly from soldiers that have spent time in that litter box and saw the IDF and the so-called Israeli soldiers that everybody touted for decades about what great military they are and all this other bullshit. Yeah, right. Sure they are. That's why they want your sons and my sons and daughters to die in the battlefields for that litter box, because they can't fight their way out of a paper bag. That's the facts. That's the facts. And they want everybody to think they got hundreds of nuclear devices. Well, then ship them over. Send them off. Do your Samson option. Okay? I'm tired of hearing about it. Pull it off. You guys, you're all deceivers. You're deceivers. And we're now figuring that out about you, okay? You're deceivers. I want to repeat this from the YouTube channel Blackpilled. He does some excellent work, by the way. Devin Stack wrote a good book too, The Day of the Rope. It's too short though, Devin. If you ever get to hear this message, you need to write the sequel because the book's too short. It was a fast read, and man, I wanted to hear more. He's a good writer. But anyway, he had this on his channel. When non-white men get angry, they might burn a few buildings. When white men get angry, they burn down empires. The world is going to see that happen. The world is going to awaken to that very truth in the near future. The reason I picked the title, You Are Judged. This morning, I had a rough night, and this morning I got up and was praising Father, just as the scripture says that we should shout the glory of our Father, our King, upon our beds. I never understood that till recently. And that's exactly what, because why? That's your first thing in the morning, you're in bed, you're coming to your consciousness, you praise Father, and Father speaks to you. Okay, he'll give you words of wisdom. He'll put thoughts into your mind if you're listening, if you're paying attention. So just as the proverb says, why? Because that's private time. Your bed is your private time before you get involved with children or wives or work or whatever. That's private time you can spend with him. First thoughts in the morning, last thoughts at night. Shut all the electronics off. Everything's dark. Everything's quiet. Everybody's away. Now you have some quiet time. So I'm sitting there this morning and I'm thinking about things, and it came to my mind about this mayor up in South Bend, Indiana, because I'd watched Dr. E. Michael Jones talking to Owen Benjamin about this open homosexual. They just call him Mayor Pete. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name. I don't even know where the hell that name came from. But supposedly he was in naval intelligence. Wait a minute. This guy was in naval intelligence. My opinion of naval intelligence just sunk quite a bit. And he's a open homosexual. But worse than being an open homosexual is the fact he's a flaunting open homosexual. He's flaunting his homosexuality. And they were talking about the fact that he made a statement, a public statement recently, if you don't like what I am, take it up to the one who created me. Whoa! It dawned on me this morning, that is blasphemy. That is mocking the living God. And I thought, Pete, you have just condemned yourself. You have been found guilty in the courtroom of the Most High of one of the most heinous of crimes. You're right up there with Goliath. You are mocking the living God. Not only are you mocking him, you're mocking all of us that believe in him and believe in his laws and believe in the work of Christ Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach. You're mocking everything decent on this earth. You have now called rain down fire from heaven to rain down upon your head. And I was thinking to myself, you know, in the midst of all this, like Bernie Sanders claiming this guy threatened to do harm to him and all, where Bernie has no problem whatever condemning Christians and white people, has no problem doing that openly. All right, so are the rest of his Bolshevik buddies. His Talmud-thumping Bolshevik buddies. They openly are calling for all of us to be their slaves, all right? That's okay. He feels that's okay. Taking us down the road into Bolshevism, that's okay. Bernie wants to see your sons and daughters raped, murdered, and tortured like the Russians were 100 years ago. That's okay. But this poor drunken lawyer makes a statement in a drunken stupor because he's fed up. But he's going to deserve to do 15 to 20 years and an outrageous fine because of these. By the way, Jimmy didn't mention it. The prosecutor and the judge and all in this case, they're all non-American. They're all invaders. They all have Spanish last names. Imagine that in Florida. Okay? So the fix is in. The fix is in. Do you think these invaders are going to go against their Bolshevik masters? Absolutely not. So this guy's done. Unless he has called out to the living God for help, and his angels, which would be us, his angelos, come to his assistance and shine a bright light on this whole mockery of justice. But Mayor Pete and his partner in crime up there in South Bend, Indiana, none of us have to do a damn thing. You know, could be able to say, well, Dan, you got to be... No. We don't have to do a damn thing. That's the beautiful part. Because I read in Jamie Walden's book, I'm almost to the end, the very end. And last night, that was another part that was beautiful. What Jamie had written in his book fit in perfectly with what I'm saying right now, because it was the story of Jehoshaphat in the Bible. When Jehoshaphat and the Israelites, that's our people, by the way, had a huge army coming against them, and they were told to not fear. In fact, when they marched out to battle, they were told to just hold on and watch what happened. The enemy self-destructed. First of all, there was treason amongst themselves. They massacred one another, and the few that were left turned on each other. The army, this massive army, literally killed themselves. Right in front of Jehoshaphat and his army. You see, we are part of the army, as Jamie Walden calls it in his book, Omega Dynamics. We are part of the worshipful warriors. We are his warriors for the end times. And not every battle will require us to take part in. And what's going to happen if there's an unrepentant Mayor Pete? And this is what was given to me today. You're going to see something happen from on high. It's not going to be by human hands, because then Yahweh would not get the glory. So that's the problem. We got too many people thinking the arm of flesh, like in Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a Chabad Jew, okay? His daughter's married to a Chabad Mossad agent, okay? You think Trump is going to save us? Are you kidding me? All right. More and more stuff is coming out about the Donald. If you can do that if you want. If you want to sit around and think he's going to save us, fine. But I'm here to tell you, no, he's not. The glory goes to our King, none other. And even the Scripture says in the Old Testament and the New, Yahweh is a jealous God. He's a jealous Elohim, and he will not share his glory with another. And why should he? He's our Creator. Why should he share his glory with any mortal? Dirty, filthy pigs that we are. We can't get anything right. We don't protect the unborn. We don't protect our own laws. We don't protect our own family. We don't protect our own bloodline. We are scum. Why should we, and that includes Donald Trump, get any glory in what's about to take place? We don't deserve it, and we're not going to get it. He will. And he may use this blasphemous, heretical Pete, we'll just call him Pete, up in South Bend, Indiana. Just watch in the news. Just watch in the news. He's mocking the living God. He's mocking the laws of nature. He's mocking us. He's calling for the fires of judgment on his own head. I say hallelujah. Again, that's if he does not repent. It could go either way. Maybe Pete and his abomination that living with him will repent. I don't know. All I know is whatever happens, the glory goes to our Father. So that made me feel pretty good, because our Father, I think, has reached the tipping point with us down here. I got that feeling this morning, and I really, really felt good that he's finally had enough, because I've been boiling. I've been angry. I've been frustrated watching this slow death of the white race, this slow death of the Christian Republic that we've been at the hands of these invaders, these insurgents. And reading Jamie Walden's book has been an uplifting experience. He is a fine young man. He knows the Father's name. He knows a lot. He says a lot of key things in that book that makes me think he's listened to a few of our programs here. It really did. But he's got a message for the warriors out there, how to be warriors. And all the, and then the story of Jehoshaphat, not every battle will have to be fought with the arm of flesh, because then we get the credit. Father's done with that. He knows that we don't deserve a damn thing. We really don't. But he's also tired of this mocking that's going on by these antichrists, like Bernie Sanders, okay? He's mocking the living God, claiming that this poor individual in Central Florida deserves to spend decades in prison and fined for simple words. Is that a Christian concept? No. No. Words are just words. We all know that. In fact, I grew up with the nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. They're just words. People say nasty words all the time. What makes government officials any different? Well, because this is a white man, obviously. He may even have made some social media comments about what the Bolsheviks are up to, which will put a target on him, okay? And that's what this is all about. Targeting white men, patriotic white men, especially patriotic white men of faith. But Bernie, you're calling fire down on your head too, buddy. In fact, all of you Bolsheviks, you have become completely unchained recently. You are turning everything upside down so bad that even the brain dead churchgoers are starting to figure this thing out. Attendance at these whitewashed sepulchers is in a downward spiral. There's no truth in them. There's no fire. There's no positiveness. There's no change in society due to them. They're social clubs. Social clubs, that's all. So two people to watch in coming months to see what Father does, because you and I don't have to do anything to these guys. They're going to self-destruct. Their hubris, their chutzpah, their vanity will be their undoing. They're mocking Christian America. They're mocking white America. The mainstream media, all of these Bolsheviks, they got their dirty, bloody fingers and fingerprints over all of the crime that's going on. And by the way, it's not just the crime against the white believers in this country. It's against other races as well. Some interesting information is coming out about the Jews in China and how tight they are. It would explain why Clinton's made sure that China got all of the patents in the patent office. They got copies of it. And I remember when that happened, I said, isn't it funny? We got the FBI, the CIA, NSA. We got all these people supposedly watching anything, but nobody has a problem with China being dumped with all this technology by white Americans? All right? And who was behind shipping all the manufacturing out of the United States and into China? How do you conduct a war when you can't make shoes and boots and gloves and uniforms? How do you conduct war when you can't build large engines and tanks and ships because you're shipping all of those industries overseas? You know, we can't even make a large steam turbine. I come from the power industry. We can't make a large steam turbine anymore. We had to get our parts from over in Europe and Japan. We created that industry, especially nuclear power. America. America created nuclear power. And now we have to go to other countries. The same thing when they took over South Africa, which I hope to have Mr. Jan Lamprecht on here pretty soon again, to talk about how the Bolsheviks arranged for white America to cheer as the communist Mandela and his cohorts, the Bolshevik blacks, took over South Africa and abused the white people. In fact, they're on the verge of genociding the whites in South Africa right now. Do white people care over here? No, they don't care. And when that happened, where do we get a lot of our strategic metals? South Africa. South Africa. And it was given to communists. Now, let's see. Our government is run by Bolsheviks, and our strategic metals for many of our defense weapons and material come from South Africa, and now that country's run by communists. Who does that benefit? Let's see. I guess it would be communists, wouldn't it? So it's time after time. So same thing. You build up China. Well, last time I checked, China's communist. Always has been communist. In fact, China used to boast about the fact that they knew at some point they will be in a full-scale war with the United States, openly talking about full-scale war with the United States with the intention of conquering it. And yet the Clintons and the Bolsheviks in Washington made sure China got all the technology. And then they got all the industry. So now they had money to build up their military. All this bullshit in the news and everything about how great China is, they're only great because they have our technology, our stolen technology, and our stolen infrastructure and money and industry. All shipped over by people with Jewish faces and Jewish names. I'm sure that's all by coincidence. Because the Jews plan to use the Chinese as a battering ram for when Americans finally get off their ass and realize that it's curtain time. You see, that's their contingency for a rebellion here. They know they're pushing us to rebel. They know that. But they think they can hide in their bunkers, or they can hide out in their palatial mansions in Central and South America and in other places like Europe. They think they can hide it out while they get the Russians and the Chinese to finish us off. That's what their plan is. Because they've already got their people, and they've had their people in Russia for decades. Now they got their people in China. And they're getting ready to vacate here, at least the top-level ones. They don't mind if the low-level Jews get massacred. They never have cared about that. But the Alpha Jew, he's already got plans for his villas and his palatial homes in other countries while they watch us duke it out with the Russians and Chinese. That's their plan. It's pretty easy to see, really. And it's been going on for a long time. And I bitched about it when it was going on. I said, doesn't anybody care? Here's a newspaper article about our intellectual property being shipped over to China. And it was less than 6 months after that happened that China got their first intercontinental ballistic missile that was capable of reaching Alaska. Up until then, they couldn't even reach Alaska with a missile, even though I don't think they have nukes anyway. But they needed that. They needed to have the people afraid. And China couldn't even get a missile to get past Alaska, let alone California and the interior, until they got our technology. And they got our industry, because I remember when that happened too, the articles in the paper about these very, very tiny ball bearings. They have a special name for them, but I can't remember what it is now. Very, very tiny, precise ball bearings are needed in the warheads of these MIRVs, multiple entry intercontinental ballistic missiles. Need special, very, very fine, very, very precise material. And the only place they were made at that time was in America. Not anymore. See, you've been sold down the river for so long while you're going to church praising Jesus, and you have exhibited nothing of the Messiah. Not one shred of who he was. Not one shred in your miserable bodies. He was intelligent. He was sober. He did not let his fleshly desires overtake him. He spoke the truth unabashedly. He whipped the money changers. Can you imagine trying to get a bunch of Jews out of a money-changing situation or a bank? Can you imagine walking in and demanding the Jews put down their money and leave? Try that out sometime. See how that works for you. And he did it. Walked in there and kicked them out. He had courage. He was a man. Toxic masculinity on a scale you've never seen, especially compared to these cucks that parade around like they're men today. No, you're not. You're cucks. You're soy boys. That's what you are. You don't talk like men. You don't walk like men. You don't dress like men. You don't have control over your wives and children like men do. You don't have control over your country. In fact, you're so far from being a man, you're worried about words. You're worried about people putting a label on you, let alone shooting you or beating you. You're afraid that somebody might call you a name. And you're the conquerors that Christ told us to be, occupiers. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, praise Yahweh. There is a warning that Mayor Pete and his abominable partner, you have been judged in the court of Yahweh as a blasphemer and a mocker of the living God. Lord, have mercy on your soul, buddy. You're going to need it. And again, no mortal man has to do a damn thing. All the glory goes to the King of Kings. No mortal man is going to come near you, buddy. But you better sleep with one eye open. You are mocking the living God. Unbelievable hubris by these people. That goes for you too, Bernie. And the prosecutor and the judge in Central Florida doing the work of the Bolsheviks against this lawyer up there. Okay? You are mocking the living God. You are mocking justice. And praise Yahweh that he's going to do it, because sitting around waiting for white men to become men again, it would be all over. America would be gone, our children enslaved, our economy ruined. If it were up to white men to turn this around, it'll never happen. So praise Yahweh that he himself will reach the tipping point and say, I've had enough of this. I've had enough. I wanted my sons and daughters to do it. I gave them the ability to do it. They have the scriptures. They have the Holy Spirit. If they would just listen. But no, they're too busy chasing Babylonian delicacies. The delicacies of the whore of Babylon. Television, entertainment, movies, fancy foods, delicious desserts, wines, whiskey, booze, sex, you name it. Those are all your idols that you want much more than to be the men and women that our Father wanted you to be. Sad. Really sad. We are the Adamic race that was put here to represent, to be his ambassadors. You see, folks, you don't ever think about, your time on this earth is very short. Do you really think that this is all there is? Do you really think this miserable existence down here for the few short years we've got, you really think this is all there is? You don't understand that you're being tested for what's beyond? Who's worthy to be trusted? Who's worthy for a greater work beyond what's in this little prison planet that we're in? You don't get it, do you? You don't get it. It's really quite that simple. It's a test. What do you put higher priority on? If you were the creator, think about this for just a minute. If you were the creator sitting here looking at your creation and the abysmal record we have right now, how would you feel? How would you feel about the white men and women that you put on this earth? You'd be pretty disgusted, wouldn't you? I know I am. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to be lumped in with these people. They don't care about race mixing. They don't care about their health. They don't care about justice. They don't care about their economy. They don't care about being raped every April 15th. They don't care. They don't care. As long as they can sit on their fat ass and watch television and drink their beer, they're happy. They don't care. They've told themselves that, well, when I die, it's all over, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to become a big pile of dust. That's it. I'm going to enjoy what I can, and you know, I don't dare go against the, you know, yeah, okay, the Bolsheviks are here, just like General Ben Parton and U.S. Army Colonel Don de Grand Pre and U.S. Air Force Major Francis Farrell and U.S. Air Force Major John Knight, Special Forces First Sergeant Stephen Barry, among some of my guests right here on this program, telling us about what's going on in this world. Nobody cares. Cody Snodgrass was on this program, told us about Oklahoma City was an inside job, exactly what we've been saying since it happened. Inside job. He was part of it. He was part of it. Where's the outrage? Randy Weaver's family was murdered up in Idaho. Where's the outrage? Oh, there is none. But Bernie Sanders received some bad words, and we want to figuratively destroy a man for words now, whereas people from the United States government murdered Sammy Weaver, murdered Vicky Weaver, almost murdered Kevin Harris, and tried to burn the cabin with Randy, Kevin, and the three babies, the three children inside, one of them an infant, the two daughters and the infant that Vicky was holding when Lon Herucci put a bullet in her head. That's what your government did. Not a damn thing being said by all these pious, church-going pieces of shit called Christians in America. Don't label me with that. Don't you dare use that term, Christianos, which the Jews in the days of Christ came up with as a term of derision, followers of the Christ. We crucified him. We murdered him. We can do the same thing to you, Christianos. That's why the believers all through the centuries never referred to themselves as Christian. Believers, followers of the way. Covenanters, but never Christians. Why? I just told you why. And the same thing today. Don't you throw me in with those people. All they know how to do is put on the window dressing. They know how to put up the window dressing of the nice-looking church and going in there with the pretty clothes and smelling good from their morning shower and got their perfume and cologne on. Oh, my God, and they're so happy to see everybody. But don't have a damn thing to say about the homosexuals. Don't have a damn thing to say about the transsexuals. Don't have a damn thing to say about the school system turned into a Bolshevik indoctrination center. Nope. Nope. They're quite okay with that. Don't have a damn thing to say about the murder of the Weaver family or the murder of the people at Waco or the murder of the children in the Marah building in Oklahoma City. Hundreds of children died there, as well as the first responders. Nope, they're quite content with that. But by God, this lawyer needs to be punished. He picked on one of the chosen. Bernie, follower of the satanic Talmud, Sanders. Yeah, don't lump me in with them. I praise and worship the true Father, Yahweh El Shaddai. That's all. I don't want any part of this organized religion. Because it's no different than organized government and organized banking. It's all organized for a reason, and it's not for your benefit, folks. The warning not only goes out to Mayor Pete up there in South Bend, but it also goes out to you lukewarm, milquetoast believers who call yourself Christianos, Christians. You are the lukewarm that he is going to vomit out of his mouth. Did you guys ever throw up Most of the people I know have thrown up at some point. Do you remember that taste in your mouth? That disgusting acid taste? It's pretty horrific, isn't it? You can't wait till you're done belching so you can get over there and wash your mouth out. Get that disgusting taste out of your mouth. That's what you are to the living God. And you want to believe this Hollywood version of the Christ, you go right ahead. This Zionist Bolshevik creation of what Christ was really like, you don't even have a clue. He was a toxic male. He did not consider toxicity in the defense of the divine Yahweh to be a sin. He didn't find toxicity in the defending of the fatherless and the widows to be a bad thing. He didn't find that laying down his own life for a friend to bring justice was a crime. Jamie Walden in his book talks about one of the greatest things in the body of warriors, the code of honor amongst warriors, is esprit de corps. That's a French term, esprit de corps. It's the spirit of the group. Esprit is spirit, de corps, the same corps as you get in Marine Corps, C-O-R-P-S. That's why you pronounce it corps instead of corpse, because it's not an English word, it's a French word. Esprit de corps, the spirit of the group, the bonding. Okay, that's what we as believers are supposed to have. That's why I'm recommending reading the book, because Jamie brings out a lot of good points like that about how the U.S. Marine Corps and his training as a soldier fits in very well with what the real scriptures and the real Christ was all about. That's why one of my favorite songs when we went to church on Sunday was Onward Christian Soldier. If you haven't heard that in a while, you might want to tune it up. Go find it. I'm sure it's on YouTube or BitChute or somebody's put it up there. But it's one of the most beautiful hymns that we used to sing. Amazing Grace is by far my favorite. Amazing Grace. And for those of you out there that care, that's what I want played when Father decides to take me home. And preferably on bagpipes. Amazing Grace and Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War. This is a war, but you've had these milquetoast, panty-waist preachers feeding you lies and deceptions for so long, you don't have a clue what's going on in this world. And then you go home, you leave the church where that liar has spent an hour, hour and a half filling your head full of bullshit. And then you go sit in your living room and turn on your image of the beast. Yeah, that's what it means. Image of, meaning controlled by. Not of, meaning a picture of some beast. That's bullshit. The image, the flat screen, owned by the beast. Who controls the images in front of your face? And you go home and you sit in front of that and get further propagandized. All of it coming from Bolshevik sources. How sweet. One of the few things that came out of Hollywood I liked, and that's Mel Gibson's movie Braveheart. The Passion of Christ was okay, except that he portrayed the disciples as if they were dark-skinned, swarthy Jews. They weren't. They were white men, Benjaminites. Go to the small nation of Iceland today, which is predominantly Benjaminites, and tell me if they look like the people in Mel Gibson's movie. No, not even close. Okay, that's the part. Mel, if you're going to make a movie and portray it to be accurate, then put people that look like us in there, will you? Okay, if the Jews don't like it, tough shit. Excuse my French. I'm sick and tired of everybody bowing down and kissing the butt on these invaders that are hell-bent on destroying Yahweh's world. Wouldn't it be nice? There is a guy that says he's going to start making Christian films. I put that up on my website here some time ago. I think it's on the News and More page. But there is a fellow, I think he's in Texas, that's starting a new studio to make wholesome movies again. I hope they're wholesome and true for a change. But anyway, Mel Gibson in the movie, he's got a line where Braveheart, who was a real man, by the way, William Wallace was a real man, over 6 foot tall, and he did wield a two-handed broadsword, which only the biggest badasses on the battlefield did that. And they actually got paid hazardous duty pay for wielding that sword. And William Wallace was one of the best. So he's portraying William Wallace, and he's talking to the princess, and the princess is concerned for his life because he's going to be executed, and he says, "Princess, every man dies, but not every man lives." Could be taken right out of Scripture. If you want to gain your life, give up your life. And it doesn't mean becoming a martyr. That's not what the Scripture is talking about. If you want to gain your life, if you want to gain that feeling that you amount to something, that you're here to do something or accomplish something, you have to be willing to sacrifice time, maybe even some of your money, maybe not go to the beach this week and maybe study a little bit, maybe not go on that vacation. You take like three or four or five of them a year. Maybe give up one of them and go help the lawyer in Central Florida. Spend some time, get a camera, catch these people on tape or on video, lying. Okay? That's all it takes is shining light. These people are evil. What's it say in Scripture? Or don't you believe in Scripture? Maybe that's what Christ meant. Will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Where's the faith? Scriptures say when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The wicked are having a hell of a good time right now because there are no righteous. You're not going to find them in a church. They're too busy play acting. They can't be bothered. You'll find more people who could understand the real Christ in a bar than you are in a church. You're going to find more men and women who understand the real Christ in an infantry unit than you will in a church. Because those men and women are actually facing death. They're actually doing something. However, they're being misled by their leadership. That's true. They are detestable pieces of crap, getting our men and women killed for these despicable Bolsheviks. But that doesn't take away from their heart. They understand the precepts and the teachings of the Christ far better than these pew setters. They're despicable. They are the lukewarm, soon to be vomited out hunks of garbage. Yahweh's getting ready to take out the garbage. That's why the warning to Mayor Pete, you've identified yourself not only as garbage, but you're some of the foulest of the garbage in this world. Who knows? Maybe he's going to start the cleanup with you, Pete. I'm just saying. Again, whatever happens, he'll get the glory. So you misfits in the so-called criminal justice system, let's see you take on the King of Kings. It's easy picking on us peons out here. We don't have any power except for prayer, except for what Psalm 91 says, except for Psalm 149, except for Psalm 23, and many, many others. Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm, except for those. There's a beautiful story about the third captain in there. I believe it was Elijah that the king sent his commander with 50 men. The first captain went with his 50 men to go get Elijah and drag him down off that mountain and bring him into the palace. Elijah called fire from heaven and consumed them all. They all fell dead. Beautiful story, by the way. So the king found out about it. He got pretty pissed. So he told the next captain. Now, the next captain wasn't really anxious to go out there after what he saw happen to the first captain, but he thought, well, it's going to be ugly if I don't listen. Are you paying attention, you soldiers and police officers out there? Are you paying attention? Okay. When you think your job is to obey orders, even though they're immoral, unconstitutional, not righteous, think about this. So the second captain thinks, well, the king could put me in a dungeon. He might hang me. He might enslave me. I guess I'll go get Elijah. So he goes out there like the first one did, and he sees all these crispy little mounds of bodies laying around. And he goes up on the hill, and Elijah, come down off that mountain. The king wants to see you, and I'm here to take you in. Well, didn't go very well for that captain, as he and his men got turned into little piles of ashes like the first 50. So now we're up to 100. Two captains and 100 men dead. So the king calls in another captain, and he says to the third captain, you need to go and bring this man in. Now, the third captain is trembling because he's really in a tough spot. He's got this king that could take his life anytime he wants, but he also knows that Elijah, a prophet of the Most High, can call fire down from heaven. He's already killed 102 men. So he goes up there, and this is where you people in uniform need to pay attention. He goes up there to the mountain and he says, Elijah, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. He says, Elijah, I'm in a tough spot here, dude. Listen, the king says that he wants to talk to you really bad. And I'm supposed to bring you in, but I'm not going to force you to do that. So I'm asking you, Elijah, would you mind come with me and you know, come on, please. You know, obviously Yahweh's going to look out for you. You just fried 102 of our best men here. You just turned them into piles of dust. Okay, so you've got him on your side, and the king is going to make my life hell. So would you please come with me? And that's when Elijah said, all right, yeah, I'll come down. The third captain, beautiful story. Beautiful story. The first time somebody handed it to me, somebody had typed it up on a sheet of paper and it was being Xeroxed and handed out all over the power plant was back in the 80s, like 1983, 1984 time frame. And I had it taped up by my desk where all my tools and stuff were because I was a supervisor at that time. Because I thought that story taught a great principle. Very great principle, okay? Humility. The third captain was humble because, yeah, there's earthly people with power that can destroy you, whether financially or whatever. But when you start dealing with the Most High, you better learn humility. And these scumbags that are running this world right now have lost all humility. They are so full of themselves, they think that nothing can happen to them. They are setting themselves up to be like the first two captains. Repentance and humility, two things this world today doesn't seem to understand at all. Not at all. Think about that. And for you church pew setters out there, remember what Braveheart said. Every man dies, but not every man lives. And you can ask Jamie Walden about that. If I can get him onto the program, I've sent him an invitation. I'm hoping he accepts it. He understands that not every man lives. But a warrior that's willing to put his life on the line for a cause that he feels is just, you can't get any more alive than that. You see, sitting in the safety of your home watching your flat screen image of the beast, or stroking the keys of your computer, or going down to the church and pretending to be a believer, those are all nice, safe, and they don't cost you anything. You haven't gained your life. You're not living. You're going through the motions. You're just the bag of bones going through the motion, like Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about. You're part of that valley of dead and dry bones. That's all you are, a bag of bones, dead, dry bones. That's all, taking up space, going through the motions. Your life doesn't mean shit. It really doesn't. Just a bag of bones. No spirit, no life, no fire, no joie de vivre, which is French for joy of life. Okay? Nope. Nope, just a bag of bones. Now, I'm going to say another thing here, too, because I was on the Trump train and the Q thing there for a while. I admit that, but I always gave a caveat that, you know, we didn't know for sure. But we always hope against hope, don't we? We're always hoping that there is a white knight going to save the day so we don't have to leave our comfort of our homes, and we don't have to load up the M16s, and we don't have to sharpen the combat knives. War is ugly, folks. Nobody looks forward to war. Nobody. Nobody. But sometimes it's forced upon you. And that's what Jamie Walden says in his book. When it's forced upon us, then we take the fight to the enemy. And we take it to him belligerently. We take it to him in force. We give no quarter to the enemy. None. None. This is the big one. This is the one the Dead Sea Scrolls was talking about. This is the big one. Good versus evil. Good versus evil. I'm going to tell you something. He said, will I find faith on the earth? I used to wonder about that. Maybe I'm not faithful enough. But I look back at it of what I've done in my lifetime. Why did I do it? Because I believe. I've always believed since I was a boy. And I promised him I'd do it. And I've always had faith that he would walk with me. Now, have I gone through some hell at different times? Yeah, most of it creations of my own. It wasn't like Yahweh just decided one day to send a thunderbolt into my ass. No, it was something stupid I said or did. But he turned that around into a lesson. He taught me something. Made me stronger. Built my character. He taught me how to cry with hot tears back in 1998. First time in my life I felt what it must have been like for King David to be in that valley up against a giant, because I was in a valley against a giant and pretty much alone. But Father looked out for me. I learned how to pray hot tears, gut-wrenching, crying out to the Father. I learned that. Not ashamed of it either. It's cleansing. To know how insignificant you really are and how easily crushed you really are until you call out to the Father. And then all of a sudden I had friends show up. I had a buddy named Dave. He was from the Navy and I was from the Air Force. Showed up, turned out to be one of my very best friends. I had another friend I hadn't seen in years. All of a sudden out of the blue, he showed up at the same plant. Took me out to dinner, would consult me, because I was low. I mean, I was low. He sent angelos. He sent angels in the form of men to comfort me, to help me fight the good fight. It was many years later, that same Dave, that same Navy veteran Dave, let me know that these words on these programs permeate through this world, and you will never know all the places it goes. When he told me that he was listening to a shortwave radio program at 3 o'clock in the morning when he couldn't sleep, he turned on a shortwave radio and he heard my voice. Tell me there isn't a living God. It was my interview with Dr. William Kelly, who's since passed on, but Dr. William Kelly was a dentist, but when he got pancreatic cancer in his 30s, he figured out a way to do it naturally. And according to what he told me on the radio program, he had helped over 33,000 people overcome cancer with his formulas. 33,000, approximately. But he heard me do that interview, and he wrote down the information, and he took it to a lady that was a very good friend of the family, and she contacted Dr. Kelly, and he got her on the protocol, and 3.5 months later, she was cancer-free. Okay? Cancer-free. Because we, his elect, do these calls and these shows and these programs to put truth out there and talk to people. Thousands of people now, almost 20 years later, well over 1,000 different people have been on this show. Telling truths that can't find light of day in the Bolshevik media. Now, Jimmy is sharing here. He says, I hear you, and I also have felt the same pain, Dan. I tried so hard to save my Kim. I know that, Jimmy. And Kim knows that. Just as we tried to save my nephew a few years ago, 28 years old, died of cancer. And I personally believe, and I'd be willing to put $1,000 on it, it was related to these devices, because he had a laptop or some other type device that ran off Wi-Fi on his lap almost 24/7. The whole time he was a child, the whole time he was in college, even as a first responder, EMT, when he wasn't on duty, he was doing something with a cell phone, with a tablet, whatever, just constantly. And where did his cancer start? Right there in the midsection. And unfortunately, the family decided to go the way of allopathic medicine and chemotherapy, and he didn't make it a year. And it was not pretty that year. Not pretty at all, what the chemotherapy was doing to him. Okay? I know it. I know it. Our good friend Leo up in Illinois lost his precious wife recently to the same thing, fighting this damnable cancer that we have solutions for, by the way, folks. It's all suppressed because it's all about the goddamn money. I don't know how many times I got to say it. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people that do and think and behave all based on money. Not morality, not justice, not righteousness, not the laws of the living God, not what's best for you and your family, but goddamn money. I got family right now going to go under the knife. Why? Because that's what insurance pays for. That's what insurance pays for. I know it. That's the reason. Not because they trust it the most, not because they wouldn't want to try some. If insurance would pay for the Beamer technology out of Germany, if it would pay for chelation therapy, if it would pay for med beds, they'd try that first. Anybody would. Why in the hell would you go under the knife when there's non-intrusive ways to deal with things? But that's not what Jewish insurance companies pay for, because they want you under the knife. That's where the money is. Besides, they get a sick joy knowing you're going to suffer. And yet you've got preachers that have the audacity to stand in front of congregations and proclaim these Bolshevik invaders as God's chosen people. You want to talk about blasphemy? So it isn't just Mayor Pete and his abomination that he's got up there with him. It's these preachers. And I'm praying it's not just Mayor Pete that gets a good visitation from on high. I'm praying that these lying charlatans and quacks behind the pulpits get a visitation here real soon too, because they are despicable. Absolutely despicable. Now, the good news is I'm hearing more and more and more people like Coach Dabomir and other people, they're starting to actually pull out concordances. They're actually looking into the ancient languages. Imagine that. And I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I went to Methodist Church the whole time I was a child, all the time growing up, went to Sunday school, church, went to functions. I got clear up into my 30s before I even heard about a concordance. I didn't even know what one was. I never met anybody that had one. And the buddy that turned me on to the fact that Jews are not the chosen people, and Jesus Christ and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were not Jews, as we know Jews today. And I went ballistic on this guy, just like all the rest of these Judeo misinformed morons out here. I was just like him. Until he told me, he says, Dan, you need to look it up in a concordance. I said, what the hell's a concordance? I didn't even know what it was. So I went down to the Christian bookstore. When I finally had enough sense, it took a couple weeks for the Holy Spirit to deal with me and tell me that, you know, Larry's a smart guy and he's a friend, and he's not telling you that because he wants to piss you off. He's telling you that because he cares. Maybe you should listen and go down and get the book and see what he's talking about. I went down there and I found a Strong's Concordance, big thick thing, like a dictionary, and I think it was only $15. I couldn't believe it. I said, my God, this is wonderful. It had all the verses you could find. If you could just remember one word in the verse, you could look it up in a concordance. Now, this is before all the electronic stuff. Yeah, that stuff didn't exist at that time. So this was like a gold mine to me. And then, for each word that you're looking up, it would tell you where in the Hebrew or Greek dictionary you could find that word and find out what it meant in the original language. That's when I finally, the light bulbs came on, and no, the Messiah wasn't a Jew. And the commandment was not, do not kill. That's all it took. $15 in one trip to the bookstore. And I figured something out that I'd ask about in church time after time after time. Nobody could tell me. Not even my parents. Why does it say not to kill when God tells us to kill lots of times? Rapists, we're supposed to execute. Murderers, execute. Kidnappers, execute. Pedophiles, execute. Traitors, execute. And if you believe what the Bible says, homosexuals, execute. That's what it says. Okay, so he does tell us to kill. Why does this commandment say that? Well, you look that word up in the dictionary, and guess what? It actually says, thou shalt not murder. Now, I actually had a young woman one time, I got into a discussion, she was at a prayer meeting, and she says, well, Dan, what's the difference? I just looked at her and go, you don't know the difference between killing and murder? No, it's the same thing. I said, no, it's not. Killing is killing. Murder is killing innocent people. When you execute a murderer or execute a traitor or shoot a foreign soldier or shoot an insurgent that is trying to conquer your land and murder your family, that's not murder. That is killing righteously. That's why it's called homicide, justifiable homicide. That used to be the term when I was a boy. You'd read it in the papers. Such and such was charged with homicide. And then the court, the judge or the attorneys or whatever, would throw it out because it was justifiable. A man broke into their house, was attempting to rape his wife, and he killed him. That was called justifiable. What made it justifiable? Because it's scriptural. If somebody breaks into your house meaning to do harm to you and your family, it's justifiable that you kill them. That's not murder. That's not murder. Big, big difference. People can't even figure that out. Just like race and nationality. I've had people tell me, well, Dan, I'm a mixed race. I said, really? Well, what's the race? Well, I've got French and German in me. I said, so you think that makes you a bastard? Well, yeah. I said, did it ever dawn on you that, you know, French and English or French and German are the same people, just living in different countries, speaking different languages, I said, you know, there is a difference between nationality and race, right? No, a lot of people today can't even figure that out. We have been dumbed down so bad, they can't even figure that out. They can't do it. It's no wonder the Jews are laughing all the way to the synagogue. We can't figure out simple stuff. So they're having a field day. All they got to do is put a few news stories out to cover their shenanigans and their machinations, and we go off thinking, oh, it's okay. Just like I said, they made it sound like Randy Weaver and his family were white supremacists and identity believers and weird because they lived in a cabin. And you bought it. You said it was okay that men with no insignia on their uniforms in camouflage sneaking through the woods with automatic weapons and came onto their cabin and murdered their son, shooting him in the back, by the way, as he ran to go home. Little Sammy Weaver shot him in the back. More than once, shot the family dog. In fact, they had so much contempt for Randy and Vicky Weaver, they took their military vehicle and they ran over the dog 20 times, back and forth, ran over the dog to show contempt, try to get him to come out of the cabin. They left the body of Sammy lay there until nightfall. And Randy and Kevin Harris went out. Randy went out to get him and took him in, and they had to clean the body in the shed by the house. That's how much your government, your beast Bolshevik government, thinks about you, folks. And you pew setters, you lukewarm vomit material, sat back and thought, well, you know, the government, you know, they can do things like that. And besides that Randy Weaver and his family, they were kind of weird anyway, living up there and up in Idaho, up along Ruby Ridge up there in a cabin. Why did they do that? Why didn't they get down here in an HOA in a gated community like the rest of us? That's how despicable you people are. And I'm throwing myself in there too. Why in the world he doesn't just wipe us all out, I don't know. Despicable. And then they let some piece of shit like Lon Hurucci, Japanese Lon Hurucci. Oh, they say he's an American. No, he's not. He's an invader. He's an alien. He's not American. He's not American by blood, and he's not an American by culture. We don't shoot women in the head while they're holding a baby. But Lon Hurucci did. And then he went down to Waco and helped kill some more innocent men, women, and children. And the government gave him an award. That's your government. That's your beast that you have turned into an idol, that you worship. Amazing. Amazing. You don't have the compassion that Yahweh puts into animals. Animals, at least, when they see a foreign body try to hurt their young, they don't care how big and bad it is. The mom will attack whatever it is up to the point of death. She will die to destroy whatever threatens her child. You people don't. You think it's okay to murder babies for any reason. You don't even have in the compassion that is in an animal. Sick. We've got a disease. We are sick. President Trump, I was getting on that, you know, everybody's hailing President Trump like he's a defender of the faith and going to save Christian America. Really? He gives Tiger Woods the Medal of Freedom. Tiger Woods. Now, and you morons think that's a great thing, okay? It's unbelievable. Read what the Medal of Freedom is supposed to represent, what it's supposed to represent. And he gives it to a piece of dog meat, washed up professional golfer that hits little white balls around and tries to race mix with white women because he's black and Japanese and who hell knows what else is in his body. But he gives him an award, a freedom, a Medal of Freedom award. A sports figure who makes millions of dollars because the Bolsheviks like the image of this monster because he just so happens he can hit a golf ball when he's not screwed up. And he gets a Medal of Freedom. Really? What kind of freedom? What, freedom from Christian values? Freedom from white American values? What's the Medal of Freedom for? Because he hasn't fought for any other kind of freedom. He's never been in the military. He's never sacrificed his life for anybody. So what for, Donald? I'd like to know. Chabad? Donald, did you get that from your Chabad teacher that you talk about in your book? Is that who? Or did you go see your Mossad son-in-law and ask Jared? You know, should I make this abomination Tiger Woods the recipient of the Medal of Freedom? Which was it, Donald? Because I think you're full of hot air, too. You know, they're telling us that you're so smart and wise and 5D chess and, you know, but no, you're not. You're just a player. You're just an actor like the rest of them. Okay? Your little Chabad buddies, your little Bolshevik friends make you look whatever way they want you to make you look. Because when you've got billions of shekels in your pockets, it's pretty easy to come across as being successful, isn't it? You and your dad learned that a long time ago, Donald. Yeah, I'm calling you out. You're a bad actor. You're a bad actor. And the world is starting to figure it out. You're not going to change a damn thing. You're part of it. Drain the swamp? How do you drain the swamp when you are the swamp? And people say, well, Dan, Donald's one of us. He's a good guy. Look, the media doesn't like him, and Hillary doesn't like him, and, you know, Bernie doesn't like him. Hollywood doesn't like him. Yeah, that's part of the script, dumbass. What better way to fool you gullible pew setters, you vomit material out there, than to get a few of your other bad actors to turn on him so that you'll run into the arms of the Antichrist? Works like a champ. Works like a charm, doesn't it? Yep. Just take a few misfits like Bernie and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Clintons and other despicable characters. Of course they're despicable. But because they go against the Donald, you think Donald must be a good guy. Well, that's pretty easy to pull off. You know, that's how they got the Federal Reserve Act passed, because it failed in the late 1800s. So they changed the name, changed the sponsor, and all the bankers came out against the Federal Reserve Act when the bankers wrote it. Nothing new under the sun. Pew setters still go in and sit in that whitewashed sepulcher every Sunday or Saturday. Yep. I'll give my tithe to the church, and I'm doing my duty to God Almighty. Really? Which God? Little G God? The one that's on your flat screen, or the one that wears a nice suit and comes out of Air Force One? Which God is it? Or like the little gods down at the courthouse there in Central Florida, doing the work of their Bolshevik masters? Which God is it? It's not the God of heaven. And now the verse that says, again, where Christ says, "Will I find faith upon the earth?" makes more sense than it ever has, because there's almost none. The white race is ready to go extinct. It doesn't give a shit. They're actually reveling in it. They're reveling in it. We don't protect the most innocent life on earth, called babies. And our people revel in it. Our ancestors would have burnt the buildings down in Washington, D.C., and they would have drug everybody in Washington out and hung them on street lamps. That's what our ancestors would have done. Back when men were men. When men knew how to be lions, when their people were under attack, they didn't sit around and argue and bemoan and backstab and fight and bicker. Well, Dan, I keep the Sabbath on Saturday and you keep it on Sunday. I can't have fellowship with you, Dan. Well, you don't read the King James Version. No wonder the Jews laugh going to the synagogue. They don't even read the Talmud. They let the rabbi tell them what it is. As long as it tells them I can do whatever I want, they're happy. They're happy. Yeah, the rabbi's a despicable person. Sure, he sucks babies' penises and all this stuff. But who cares? As long as I can rip off white people and it's okay, what do I care? As long as I come in once a year and do the Kol Nidre prayer, which lets me lie even under oath in their hokey-pokey Christian courts, what do I care what the Talmud says? I don't need to read it. Rabbi will tell me about it. Rabbis say I can have sex with a goyim girl as little as 3 years old. No damage done. I can sell porn, even snuff films. I'm okay. Because Lucifer, he said it's okay. Talmud says it's okay. It's okay to murder babies for profit and to sell to cosmetic industry and to the artificial sweetener and additive companies for our food. It's okay because the Talmud says that we're just a lump of material. Besides that, we're not Jewish, so our lives are no different than a cow or a donkey or any other animal in the herd. So do the Jews care? No, of course not. That's why people, I get cracked up about that. Well, Dan, you know, I have a Jewish friend, and they're just wonderful people, and you shouldn't talk about them Jews that way. Really? Let's see. How many Jews have protested abortion? Zero. How many Jews have outed people like Bernie Sanders for the despicable piece of mud that he is? None. Is the Jew, Donald Trump, going to take in the Bolsheviks and do to them what should be done? Not likely. Not likely. His daughter's become one. He was educated by one. He hobnobs with the worst of the swamp. Has done for years. And yet you people think some kind of miraculous thing happened when he was elected president. That all of a sudden, he doesn't want anything to do with all of those cushy relationships with Zionist, Bolshevik, Khazarian pigs. Yeah, you go ahead and keep on believing that. And again, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I was there. I was hoping. It looked good. He had a lot of military guys around him. Praise Yahweh for the military. I just wish he had real leaders. That's all. I just wish those brave souls in uniform actually had real righteous leaders instead of the scum that are leading the show right now. I wish you actually could go fight for righteousness for a change. Put your life on the line to actually make this a better world instead of a hellhole where innocent men, women, children are dying by the thousands every day. And let me read something to you here. This was sent to me by my another Navy buddy of mine. Okay? And I don't think Johnny will mind, but this tore me up. This tore me up. I just read an article talking about our military, and we interviewed Joe Cortina, who was a Special Forces commander back in the 60s, on this program many times. And he's the one that first told me, he was doing research, and it was years ago, he's the first one that told me that we're losing over 22 of our soldiers to suicide every single day. Every day, every 24 hours, almost one per hour. Every hour, think about that. Every hour, a military person is killing themselves. What's gone wrong, people? So Johnny sends me this note today. And Johnny's a hell of a man. Hell of a man. Sorry for the slow response, Dan. Things have been a bit crazy. We had a tragic death on my wife's side. Her nephew, a 30-year-old Iraq veteran, hung himself up in Pennsylvania. His mother and my wife have always been very, very close. I'll give you a call soon. Be well, and God bless. That's real. That's real there, folks, okay? That's not made up. That's my buddy. I've known Johnny for a long time. He's not going to tell me something that's not true. So right here close in my circle of acquaintances, another veteran, 30 years old, about the same age as my youngest child, 30 years old, already gone, same age as my nephew, practically, that we lost to cancer. 30 years. Do you realize how young 30 is, folks? Okay. 30 years old, still in the prime of their life. He took his own life. I wonder what kind of drugs the VA had him on. I wonder what kind of drugs the Bolshevik medical mafia had him on. I wonder what they had him do over in Iraq that maybe has bothered him ever since. I guess we'll never know now, will we? This is the kind of crap that goes on. It just tears me up. When are our men and women, when are we going to use them to do righteous works instead of doing the work of the Jew? Alfred Schaefer, his sister, was abducted in Germany and had to go through a process there that took a couple years, I think, before she finally got free for simply doing a thing where she said, I apologize for my mom about the Holocaust, where she realizes now the Holocaust is a total hoax, as we're told about it, just like 9/11 and many other things, total hoax. Well, they went after her, but now her brother, Alfred, is over there in jail because he went over there to support her, so they nailed him, and he's still over there. But he wrote this letter, and I wanted to share it with you real quick. And he's writing to a gentleman named Chuck. Thank you very much for your card, which arrived in my cell on the 11th of April. We certainly are living in interesting times. Not only interesting, but fantastic. Humanity is healing from the disease, the cancer of the parasite Jew. Everything we observe happening now is nothing more than what we observe everywhere when an organism begins healing. It is also natural and predictable, and maybe even necessary for us to appreciate our own true value. There is no upgrade if you are white. Quote, the best of the goyim deserve to be exterminated, end quote. That's a quote of a Jew, by the way, Bernie. The Jew even proclaims this in his recursive formula to exterminate all of humanity. Understanding this brings meaning and content to our lives. We are not here to debate which of the 6 million genders we may be, but to ensure our survival. It becomes obvious, even to those with an IQ of 65, that it is infinitely better to exterminate each and every Jew on this planet than to sit on our hands as we are exterminated. Again, this is Alfred's letter. The other races will respect and love us again after we deal with this disease. The other races expect no less from us, the white race, than to stop crawling on our bellies, parroting some nonsense about the sick Jewish fantasy Holocaust, get on our feet and do what every healthy organism on earth does, deal with the disease. The first phase in any healing process is always the same, understanding and identifying the problem. Digital technology comes from our creative genius, not the Negroes, not the parasite Jews, not the Asians, not the Indians, but 100% white European creative genius. Unfortunately, we also evolved with an extreme sense of altruism and trust. Pathological altruism, which the psychopathic parasite Jew took full advantage of to call, C-U-L-L, call us down to the point where this disease, Judaism, thinks it can now give us the final death blow with all the turd world misfits, wave after wave of substandard carriers injected into every and all of our population centers. These degenerate gene carriers are fed and protected by the infrastructure we built. Our defenses have been neutralized over a transgenerational period of time to the point where we have been marinated or pre-digested for the feeding frenzy we now see unfolding. The goyim, that's you and me, folks, according to the Jews, the goyim will become agents of their own destruction. See, that's a term of derision that people like Bernie Sanders call non-Jews, goyim, which means that you're a herd animal, like a cow. After the Jews ate their way through the area that became the Soviet Union, the average IQ of the Russian population went down by culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, culling, by about 5 points. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote some interesting books describing this culling process. Now the Jews think they have the white race culled and demoralized to the point where the next big culling operation can begin. If we fail, civilization will go down, and with it, the parasite as well. But we will not fail. We are winning big time, and we are only getting warmed up. The Jew has totally miscalculated, and now comes the retribution. I know if I was a Jew, I'd be out today with my white flag asking for mercy and forgiveness, because as the backstabbing and all the rest comes out, it will leave zero mercy for the Jew when they come out with their white flags. Do you know how the Jews, when they ruled as communists, moved large numbers of people quickly from point A to B? They would simply announce, "Okay, folks, we want you to move from A to B, and the last 50 will be shot." With those simple instructions, the people voluntarily moved very fast. The same methodology is now coming back to haunt the Jew. What did George W. Bush say when the Jews got him to invade Afghanistan to enable the historic opium trade, again under the pretext of hunting down the so-called Taliban? "We will smoke them out of their holes. They cannot hide. We will hunt them down." These are the good times and the bad times to be a Jew. The 10th of September was a good time to be a Jew if you worked in New York City at the World Trade Center. They got a little message not to go to work the next day. Otigo Communications tech message. You can imagine the pure joy that these Jews felt the next day as their American colleagues all died and they lived. The five dancing Israelis couldn't even contain their joy and celebrated as the Americans were dying. 2019 is, on the other hand, a bad time to be a Jew. The Jews can now expect the same treatment that a child abuser can expect when the entire neighborhood learns that he has been raping everyone's five-year-old girls and is now lying and lying about it, while at the same time demanding compensation from everyone because his penis is so sore from all of the work. A normal, healthy population slays the abuser before the day is over. Everyone cheers and is relieved when the Jew child abuser is finally dead. Do you know why the Talmud not only permits but encourages the rabbis to rape non-Jewish girls of 3 years old? Is it because it is fun? No, it cannot be fun except for a very sick monster. Is it because it pleases the little three-year-old girl? No, because the rabbis encourage to then murder the three-year-old. Because the three-year-old is guilty of, quote, seducing the poor, poor rabbi. The reason is very simple. To make any fraternization between parasite and host impossible, Jews do nothing without first consulting their rabbi. The rabbi knows that the Jews are the deadly enemies of the host population. And as the Jews themselves have often stated, quote, "If the goyim knew what we are doing, we would all be killed on the same day." Like you said, Chuck, there are legions of people worldwide who are working hard to enable the awakening. Yes, indeed, people everywhere are demanding that the Jews be collected up like one would collect rats running around the house. Here in prison, everyone with an IQ over about 45 is waking up. I am treated with respect and very well. Monica, his sister, was like an icebreaker in Stratelheim prison, and I sailed in on her channel water. She still had to deal with, "Oh, she's a Nazi, and that is very bad." Now everyone boasts about how much they know, and the rage is becoming explosive. This is the building of the searing white rage that will fuel the healing process. Like healthy white blood cells have a searing hatred for the bacteria, we will easily do what it takes to become strong and healthy and happy again. Those of us who are not able to comprehend that there are precisely two genders and that the hollow hoax is sick Jewish fantasy will also not survive the healing. Nobody will miss them. Where did all the invaders go? The parasites? The faggots? Who cares as long as they are gone? End of paper, over and out, Alfred Schaefer. I sent that out, and I got a response from one of my friends, and he wrote this back to a group of people. Men, this brother is locked up because he voiced the truth about an international lie. Just as several American men have been incarcerated for attempting to tell the truth about the IRS and the federal income tax farce. I was removed from a history class in California over 30 years ago because I tried to tell about how Hitler, quote, backed off at Dunkirk and allowed the Brits to escape, which, by the way, is true. I studied that and read about the truth about Dunkirk many years ago. Based on what I now see politically here in the United States of America, the time will come when we'll get free room and board for telling about things that the ruling faction does not want publicized, such as MK Ultra, 9/11, Benghazi, and so on. It ain't going to be pretty. I'm not so worried about that because the wake-up is in full swing. I agree with Alfred. There is more and more and more and more waking up. And again, the only reason evil prevails is because good men are doing nothing. They're sitting in pews. They're claiming to be believers in the living God, and they don't even know what he's all about. They don't have a clue. There's no evidence of the living God in their life, in the way they dress, talk, act, do, nothing. Only the shell, only the window dressing is a people of faith. The real nuts and bolts of it, they don't have it. They don't have it. I had another one that was sent out, and I think I'm going to read that to you. I hope you guys don't mind. It's called Ezekiel's War, and Ed and Diane sent this out. This is Ezekiel's war here in the land of unwalled villages, where its people are relaxed. Trouble is, they're too relaxed. If you're a prepper, you want to be where you want to be before the shit hits the fan. Once it hits, you're not going anywhere, unless by foot. No food, no gas, no water, just polluted air, as now 9 out of 10 in the cities will perish. If this scares you, good. If not, kiss your ass goodbye. On the brink of an apocalyptic war with Iran, and most Americans don't seem to care. The end of the American dream. And that's at a website called endoftheamericandream.com. So he puts in here Ezekiel 38 from the King James Version. And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesies against him, and say, Thus saith Yahweh El Shaddai, Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And he has notes here, sons of Japheth, the Chinese, Orientals, and Latinos. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring you forth, and all of your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, weapons. Persia, which today would be Iran and the Middle East minus Arabia, Ethiopia and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all of his bands, the house of Togarmah, on the north quarters, and all of his bands, and many people with him, could be the Muslims. Be you prepared, and prepare for yourself, you and all of your company, that are assembled unto you, and be you a guard unto them, meaning you preppers. After many days you shall be visited, and in the latter years you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword. Could be the American Civil War. And is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, Caucasian Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. You shall ascend and come like a storm, which is sudden destruction. They'll say peace, but there shall be no peace. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all of your bands and many people with you. Thus saith Yahweh God, it shall also come to pass at that time, at that same time shall come things into your mind, and you shall think an evil thought. And you shall say, I will go up, as in from Central and South America, Venezuela, has a red, yellow, and blue shields from Revelation chapter 9, verse 17, to the land of unwalled villages, the United States. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls. Democrats are stopping the wall, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn your hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, as in North America, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, 12 tribes, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land, the great plains, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, meaning the Jews, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto you, art thou come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to take a prey, to gather away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith Yahweh God, in that day when my people of Israel, Jacob Israel, dwelleth safely, thou shalt not know it. And you shall come by your place out of the north parts, you and many people with you, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And you shall come up against my people, Jacob Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring you against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in you, O Gog, before their eyes. This is talking about the very thing I said at the beginning of the program. Our Father is going to be glorified by what's about ready to happen. It's not going to be men or groups of men. You're going to see it. Thus saith Yahweh God, are you he of whom I have spoken in olden times by my servants the prophets of Jacob Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring you against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Jacob Israel, saith Yahweh God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking, and in the land of Jacob Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all of the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all of my mountains, saith Yahweh God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, globalist events, nationalist. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations or peoples, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Again, Ezekiel chapter 38. It is a terrible thing to be in the hands of an angry God. That's the song, Jonathan David Brown, Yahweh Rest His Soul, good friend of mine, singer-songwriter. On his album, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, one of the beautiful songs, if you've never gotten Jonathan's music, it is soothing to the soul. Soothing to the soul. It is a fearful thing to be in the hands of an angry God. This world's going to find that out. And I got news for the church world out there. You're going to find it out as well. Judgment starts in our own house. So yeah, these Islam folks that want to push Sharia law and push their brand of religion down on everybody's throats, yeah, they're a problem. These Jews, absolutely a problem. These other foreigners that are here refuse to speak English and cultural differences and all that. Yeah, okay, they're a problem. But you know what's the biggest problem? Our people, our own people. Because these clowns could not get away with any of this if we were doing our due diligence and maintaining order, law and order, the way it's supposed to be. Okay? Give me just a second here. I want to... Something else I want to read here real quick. I know we're getting a little bit long into the program. Where did I put that? Here we go. Now, our enemy constantly likes to throw statutes and all this legalistic crap at us, okay? And that's because, you know, there's a reason why I think it's like 45% or so, maybe it's more than that. Harvard, Yale, all these law schools, 45-50% of the freshman class is Bolsheviks. Well, that's not by accident, folks. Okay, they work like a disease within a healthy body, and they know that we're law-abiding people. So, and we go to church. We used to go to assembly, okay? So they didn't come directly at you to subvert you. They subverted your institutions. Public school, subverted. Colleges, subverted. Medicine, subverted. Courts, subverted. Government, subverted. So you've been conditioned all your life to obey the law, so all they had to do is change the law. That was relatively easy. Just buy off a few of the quacks and soy boys and girls that are up in Washington in the state capitol, either threaten them or blackmail them or eliminate them if they can't be turned, and pretty soon you've got control, because the dumbass white people will say that, well, if it's the law, I have to obey it. And we've got the preachers, of course, preaching the same nonsense. Well, you know, Dan, in Romans 13 and other places, we're supposed to obey the authorities because God put them there. Well, that's a partial truth. As my dad used to say, well, you know, there's some truth in that. Yeah, that's true. There is some truth in that. Those words are in that chapter. However, it's the little lie that's being floated, because they haven't told you the whole story. Okay? That same chapter identifies the authorities established by God that you are to give your authority to, and it is godly government. Are you going to tell me the government we have today is godly? It says it's okay to put an 11-year-old boy in a drag uniform, dress him up as a drag queen, and he can perform in gay bars? That's godly? It's okay to debase our currency in the Federal Reserve? That's godly? the income tax robs you of anywhere up to 35-40% of your income? That's godly? When the Bible says that 10% is a punishment, the tithe to the temple at 10% was a punishment. 10% punishment. There's people that would rejoice to only have to pay 10%. Okay? You call that godly? That turn murderers free and put them on our streets and put righteous men in jail for protecting their children because they're white and Christian? You call that godly? So what you've actually done is given your allegiance to the Antichrist. Let me know how that works out for you, because the scripture makes it pretty plain that those who assist the Antichrist, it doesn't turn out very well. No, last time I read the book, it doesn't turn out really well. That's what you're doing. You are aiding and abetting the very Antichrist that our Messiah condemned. Condemned. So, another veteran friend of mine from the Iraq and Middle Eastern wars who suffered a horrendous head injury, he lives in Florida here and we stay in touch quite a bit, but he sent me something, and lately I've been talking to a lot of folks with law experience, and it dawned on me, you know, we should remember these two codes. In fact, I printed these out and I keep them in my car and near my front door, so that any public servant that comes on the property, before I'll talk to them, they have to read this. I want to read it to you. I think if we would cram this down the throats of our public servants, we might get a reaction. 18 U.S. Code Section 241, Conspiracy Against Rights. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise and enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, or if two or more persons go in disguise on the highway or on the premises of another with intent to prevent or hinder his free exercise and enjoyment of any right or privilege so secured, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Whoa. 10 years or both. 10 years and a large fine. And if death results from the acts committed in violations of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping, like law enforcement taking you in when they have no right, or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life, or both, or, here's the kicker, or may be sentenced to death. Are you public servants paying attention? Okay? Again, 18 U.S.C. Section 241. Now, Jimmy's put up the Cornell University Law website there on the chat room to put that down there. If anybody contacts me, I'll send you the link. You can read it. Now, Section 242 of 18 U.S.C., deprivation of rights under the color of law. Whoever, under color of law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willingly subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or to different punishments, pains, or penalties on account of such person being an alien or by reason of his color or race, than are prescribed for the punishment of citizens, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. And if death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit sexual aggravated abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years or for life or both, or may be sentenced to death. Public servants, that's addressed to you, public servants. So be careful what your superiors are telling you to go out there and do to we the people. United States Code 18, Section 241 and 242. And thank you, Mark, my Army veteran buddy, who again served over in the Middle East, suffered a horrendous head wound, and experienced the out-of-body experience while he was on the operating table, and he died. Interesting story, he told me about that. And that young man today has no fear of anything whatsoever. As he's told me more than once, I'm ready to die any day and go back. Believe me, what I saw and heard and felt there makes this place look pretty pathetic. But he has a mission to do, and he's quite the street preacher, and he now knows his identity. He knows the Father's name, and the Father has blessed him tremendously since he started to preach out and use the power of the name of our Father. Amazing stories. Amazing. I did have a couple other things I was going to read to you, but I think I've overloaded you a bit for tonight. All I know is there's a lot going on. Not a time to shirk. Not a time to take the attitude of a loser. This is a war, as Jamie says in his book, Omega Dynamics. And we are going to win this thing. But again, it's not because we deserve it. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, really. Look at our record. Look what we've allowed to happen under our noses. Now, Alfred in his article there, and Coach Dave today, and Pastor Baldwin, and many, many others. There's a fire that I have not seen. I don't think I've ever seen it. There's a fire in their messages of late. And I'm thinking if this is being repeated, not only here in America, but everywhere else, that just maybe Ezekiel 37 is on its way. Yeah, we're a sick society, as Bubby 1483 says here. We're not becoming a sick society. We are a sick society. And the body is nearly dead. Not much life left in it. We're at the bottom. There's only one way to go, and that's up. But the fact that we're at the bottom meets something that we've talked about nearly 20 years ago when this radio show started, is for our people to wake up, Father is going to administer a lot of pain. I said that because our people are boneheaded, they're stubborn, they're lazy, apathetic. So it's going to take some serious pain to wake them up. And you're in it. The pain is here. Financial pain, social pain, the lack of morals, the lack of direction, the lack of leadership, treason, enslavement, murder, torture, pedophilia, pedivores, you name it. It's disgusting. Open Satanism being put right in front of your face. Entertainment full of Satanists. Mainstream media, Bolsheviks and Satanists. In your face. But just maybe, Father has issued enough pain that our men will learn how to be men again. And maybe, just maybe, our ladies will learn how to be women again. You see, there's an order to this world, folks, and you're not in it. Virtually every one of you is living outside his order. Oh, you're in a comfortable spot in man's version of this world. But you're not in his version. You're not even close. You ladies, you don't have a clue. Most of you don't have a clue. And true, the men don't either. But it's the men that have to turn around first. That's who I dedicated this show to 20 years ago. And I still do to this day. My goal is to awaken the men. The men have to turn this world around. It's our job, guys. It's not the ladies' job. It's not the children's job. It's you and I. We were put here to do that. And I prayed for that righteous army of warriors to rise up. I've been praying since I was a young man. And as I saw my country and this world getting worse and worse and worse, I intensified those prayers. And I realized that it's not my timing that matters, it's his timing. But it's difficult to have watched so much pain and suffering when it could so easily be fixed. Just repent. Repent and make him king again in your life. Decide that this world's not worth living if you have to live it as a slave to these Bolshevik despots. They are literally sucking the lifeblood, figuratively and literally, out of us as a people, as a world, destroying nature, destroying forests, destroying water, destroying air, and destroying the souls of men, exactly as the book says. They are here to steal, to kill, and destroy, as Christ Jesus himself said. That's why they gleefully murdered him, which he allowed to happen for a purpose. But let me remind you, his first visit, that was part of the plan. This second go-round, he's not coming to be a victim. He's coming to dish out punishment. Many of us will be found guilty in the crucible of his law, and you will be punished. Just remember that, folks. The death angel, as it went over Egypt, there's only one set of houses that he passed over. Those that had the blood of the Lamb over their doors. Are you paying attention? The death angel will come once again. There's only one household, one group of houses that'll be passed over this time. And it's the same as it was those many years ago. Those with the blood of the Lamb. We're not talking the window dressing. Those lukewarm pew setters. They don't have the blood of the Lamb on them because there's no evidence. It's time for some serious thinking for everybody out there. Have you confessed to the King of Kings? Have you asked him, personally asked him to forgive you and to enter your life and change you from within, so that you become a new creature, that the old is put away and you put upon new, that your soiled clothes become white as snow? Have you asked that? Have you felt his presence in your life? If not, then you don't have his blood. And when that judgment comes, it's going to take you out too. So you guys can play all you want. And Pete, again, a word of warning to you, buddy. I know the Jews give you a lot of attention and put a lot of shekels in your pocket for the little show you're putting on. But you're mocking the living God. You and all those like you who are flaunting your aberrations. And this church world, just like the Roman Catholic Church mocking the living God, is now going to be crushed. And all of these mainstream denominations that pretend to be Christian, pretend to be followers of the Messiah. You are just filthy rags. Filthy rags. Because you don't know the King of Kings at all. You don't have his blood over you. You're just playing a game. You just want to feel good. You want to make sure the Jews don't get upset because they put a lot of money in the coffers for you. They go down and pay money for the seminaries. They pay money for your advertising. They give you loans so you can fix up that nice sepulcher that you guys meet in every Sunday. Just window dressing. Do you think it's going to fool the death angel? Do you really? Do you think your rhetoric and your show and your facade are going to fool the King of Kings? Do you think he cares about TV ratings? Do you think he cares about what the White House has to say or the Pentagon? My book says no weapon formed will prevail against me. It also says that the King of Kings warns them to touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's what I read. You can have all kinds of weapons. You got drones. You got all kinds of things you can do. But the one I serve is far greater. You can't hide from him. You have no weapon that can hurt him. And you have no weapon that'll protect you. Just continue to mock him. See what happens. These are amazing times. And I would ask all the prayer warriors out there to keep Johnny and his family that are suffering the loss of their young soldier in their prayers tonight. Keep that lawyer in Central Florida, if he's a believer, that a hedge of angels would stand with him and around him, give counsel to him and to whoever's helping him, so that he cannot be made an example of by these Bolshevik invaders. And I pray condemnation against all those who are fake and false in this world. The phony bad actors out there trying to tell us they're good guys when really they're aiding and abetting the destruction of this world. And Jimmy's got in here to keep my sister in your prayers. I thank you, Jimmy. My sister's going to have a major, major operation in less than a week. And yes, your prayers are coveted. All right, folks, that's enough for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for reaching out to your sons and daughters in these critical times. We ask by thy Holy Spirit that you would bless those who truly love you and truly love your law, those who are willing to pick up the weapons and fight if it's necessary, but we wait for your commands and only your commands. We ask that all of our soldiers here and abroad that you would look over them because they're being misled. They're led by traitors. They're led by misfits that do what they do for money and glory instead of righteousness. We would pray, Father, you look after your sons and daughters wherever they be found, that you'd give them comfort by your Holy Spirit, as you promised, stick closer than a friend. Console the weak and console the widows and the orphans, because our people sure aren't doing it. I pray that you would look out and watch over them and comfort them and get our men by the shoulders and shake the hell out of them and breathe your Holy Spirit back into them and put a fire in their belly again instead of these cucks and soy boys that walk around as if they're men. They don't even have a clue what it means to be a man. We need men again, Father. We need lions amongst our people as we wait for the return of the King of Kings and the Lion of Judah. Again, we ask for forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings. And as always, Father, we ask for protection from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we ask and pray. Hallelujah.